Well, good morning. You can take your Bible, please, and turn to the book of Job. Job chapter 30 is where we're going to begin today. And you can just hold your Bible open to Job because we'll be referring to several verses from the book of Job today. How God turns setbacks into comebacks is what I'm going to be preaching about today. And really, what I want to look is at the book of Job. We'll be talking about a lot about Job this morning. In my message to you. Job 30, 26, and 27 is the verses that I'll begin with. But I want to talk a little bit about setbacks before we get going here. What is a setback? A setback is defined as a loss of progress, a defeat of a plan, or a reversal of good fortune. Anything that sets you back. And so, what I know is that we all have setbacks in life. I know that. It could be a setback in finances. It could be a setback in health. It could be a setback in job. It could be a setback in relationships. We all have those setbacks. But what do you do when you have those setbacks? And the answer is found in the book of Job. You know, I really believe that for any preacher who preaches a message like I'm preaching today, or preach if you preach from the book of Job, you've got to really mean what you preach. And one way you mean what you preach is by how you feel the text and how you feel the Bible speaking to you. And I can just look back in my life and talk about, you know, I could talk about the setbacks, but I could also talk about the comebacks. And that's what I want to share with you today. I want to share with you how Job dealt with those setbacks in his life to achieve one of the greatest comebacks that we read about in the Bible. So we'll talk about that this morning. One way I want to do that is to use the word trust. And I want to base this message on that word trust. Because when everything is said and done from the book of Job, it comes down to that word trust. Now, in the noun form, what trust is, it's only a concept. In the noun form, trust is believing in the character, believing in the strength, believing in what a person or what God, in this case, can do for us. It's just a concept. But where trust becomes a verb is when we put that into action. And so what I want to do today is to demonstrate to you from the life of Job how he put his faith and trust completely in God. What we learned about today in Sunday school from King Asa was this, that when you face a comeback or you face a problem or a challenge in life, it's really hard to see God in situations like that. When the setback or problem or challenge is right before your face. Job, in his lifetime, in the time that he lived, which many people believe that Job is the oldest book in the Bible, he was a very wealthy man. Job, in his time, was a man who had everything life could give to one. As far as possessions, as far as wealth, as far as land, property, health, the whole thing. Family, I mean, he had the whole thing. But in one day, all that was wiped out. In one day, he lost his property. The servants came and said, "Your children," he had 10, seven boys, three daughters. "Your children were eating with their families, and a great wind came, and the building collapsed on them." Lost his family in one day. Terrorists came and robbed him of his sheep. One day, that same day, the Bible says that a great wind came, or a great fire from heaven fell, and destroyed his oxen and donkeys and all that he had in livestock, in one day. In one day, this man called Job lost his health. There's a lot of speculation about what physical problem he had. Some people seem to think leprosy, others seem to think, no, it was something else. But, you know, we're not sure what it had, what he had. But then one day he lost his health. But the Bible says in all this that Job did not charge God foolishly. In all this he kept his faith and trust in God. The Bible says in all this that he did not sin with all this that happened. So how did he do that? Trust. And that's what we'll talk about this morning. I want to take this word trust and use it as an acrostic. The first thing Job did was this, and the first thing we need to do is this, is just tell God exactly how we feel. That's it. And so by the, you know, think about the word trust, and by the letter T, just tell God exactly how you feel. Now, in Job 30, here's what we read. Here's what the scripture says. Verse 26, but when I looked for good, evil came to me. When I waited for light, then came darkness. My heart is in a turmoil and cannot rest. Days of affliction confront me. What's Job doing here? Job is telling God exactly how he feels. He said, I look for good. I'm in a desperate place here. I'm in a dark place. I've had these setbacks in my life. I'm looking for good, but evil came to me. I'm in this dark place, this dark cave. I don't understand. I can't see what's going on here. And I waited for light, and then darkness came. So here's a person who's telling God exactly how he feels. In Job chapter 1, verse 20, if you want to flip over there, Job says it again. And here's what he's doing. He's just expressing his feelings to God. Then Job arose, tore his robe, shaved his head, and he fell to the ground and worshiped. Do you understand when we tell God how we feel, that's part of worship? That we're expressing our heart to God, we're expressing our feelings to God. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb. He didn't bring anything into this world. Naked shall I return there. Then the Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. What's he doing there? That is worship. Right in the middle of his darkness, right in the middle of his pain, right in the middle of all the loss that he had experienced, what is Job doing? He's worshiping God. Now, the question is this. The question that I have for all of us today is this. What is the frustration that you've never talked to God about? What is it that you've never really been honest with God about? What is your frustration this morning? What is your pain this morning? What is your grief this morning that you've never talked to him about? Well, you see, what the book of Job says to us is this. No matter what, we can trust God. That's what Job is saying here. No matter what, I'm going to trust God. Life is not always good, but God is always good. We sang about that this morning. You see, where Job came was this. He came to see the big picture. And the big picture of the book of Job is this, that God is still in control. Here's a man who lost everything, Here is a man who doesn't understand. Here is a man who's frustrated, but yet what he's doing is he's worshiping God. He's speaking to God about it, and that's exactly what he did. There was something that happened in heaven that Job didn't know about. He didn't know about the conversation that Satan had with God in heaven. Job didn't know a thing about that. Satan had been running to and fro through the earth, and God said, "Well, have you considered my servant Job?" He said, "You can touch his body, but you're not going to touch his soul." Job didn't know about that. God knew about it. And so, see, Job is searching here. Why is this happening? What's going on in my life? Job 7, verse 11. Job said, "I can't be quiet." He said, "I'm angry. I've got to speak." Job's expressing his feelings to God. What he's saying there is, God, I don't understand it. I'm complaining to you because it's this. I just don't know. I don't understand. I'm in this place that I don't know why this has happened to me." But he's just pouring it out to God. You know why Job could do that? Because God is big enough to handle whatever we want to talk to him about. God's big enough to handle it. That frustration that you've never talked to God about, he's big enough to handle it. So the Bible tells us here from this story, we're just to talk to God, and that's what Job is doing here. Lamentations 2:19, "Pour your heart out like water in prayer to the Lord." Get it all out. The very thing God doesn't want you to do, or me to do, is to fake our emotions. He doesn't want that. He wants us to be honest. If we're struggling, we need to talk to him about that. If we have a setback in our joy in the Lord, we need to talk to him about that. Maybe we don't have the peace we need to have. Job was talking about that in the verses I read previously. You know, he said, "I can't sleep at night. I'm worried about this and all." So, you know, the Bible says just pour your heart out to God. Psalm 116, verse 10, David said, "I believe, therefore I speak. I am greatly afflicted." You know what David's saying there? Because I do believe in God. Because I do trust in him. Then I can be honest with him. I can be open with him. I can talk to him. In the Bible, there's examples of people who shared their frustrations with the Lord. Jeremiah was a great prophet in the Bible. Jeremiah came to a place in his life where he said, "Lord, you've deceived me." Think about Naomi in the Bible. Naomi said, "Call me bitter because God has dealt bitterly with me." Habakkuk, one of the short books we have in the Old Testament there. And the whole thing about Habakkuk was that terrorists had came in to the land of Israel and they'd destroyed the land and killed a lot of people and taken people captive. And the whole book of Habakkuk is this question: why, God? Why has this happened? But there's example after example of people in the Bible who just came to the Lord and just talked to him. That is trust. Tell God exactly how you feel. The second thought I have on this acrostic is you. R. And that is to refuse to become bitter. Now, in Job 1, 22 and 23, the Bible tells us here that in all this, as I said, Job did not sin, nor did he charge God foolishly. And so it's okay to tell God how we feel, but what we should not do is to become bitter with it. We can't become bitter. It's okay to talk to him. It's okay to share feelings with him, but just don't become bitter. You know what bitterness really is? It's saying, God, I don't trust you. Bitterness is us telling God when we become bitter, God, I don't have faith in you. I don't trust you for the outcome of this situation that I'm in. And that's not where God wants us to be. We can be bitter or we can be happy. I really think bitterness or happiness is a choice. I really believe that. And then the thought that I had here was simply this, that again, we just need to see the big picture to say, God, you're in control, you're in charge, you've got things. But in our way of looking at things, see, our knowledge is limited. Our wisdom is limited. That's why, you know, we struggle. But we should not become bitter. Bitterness will eat your soul. Bitterness will take you to a place where you really don't want to be. So refuse to become bitter. So what is the antidote to it? The antidote to trusting, you know, to not becoming bitter, to not, you know, charging God foolishly and all that. Well, it was not just putting on a happy face. It's not that. I had this guy we went to college with, and I mean, every day, every time you talk to him, it was always, hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know. Well, some days I wasn't ready for hallelujah, praise the Lord, you know. So he got this kind of nickname, Hallelujah Jerry is what we called him, you know. And I don't know if he was faking it out every day, but every day it was just hallelujah, praise the Lord. But, you know, it kind of rubbed off on you in some ways. But really what God wants, he wants us to be honest. He wants us to refuse to become bitter. So how did Job do that? How did he stay away from this bitterness in his life? Well, there's some things here I want to talk about, five truths. Number one is this, God never stopped loving me. That's what Job learned. Job 10:12, God, you granted me life and favor. Your care has preserved my spirit. What's Job doing there? He's thanking God for his love, for the gift of life, for all God had done for him. So never think that God will stop loving you. Secondly, God has a plan for our life. Job 23:14, listen to what Job said, for he performs what is appointed for me. Do you know what Job's trusting in? He's trusting in the sovereignty of God. He believed that God would, you know, had a plan for his life, trusting God's sovereignty. Number three, God cares about every detail of our life. Job 23:10. He knows the way that I take. When he has tested me, I shall come forth as gold. Now, there's times Job had a hard time sensing and seeing the presence of God. There are times in Job's life like we do, he faltered at times. But he always came back to it. And he always came back to this truth, God, you've got a plan, you know, you care about my life. Job 31:4, does he not see all my ways and count all my steps? Number four, God is in control of all the things that I don't understand. And so we see it here. This is the antidote. This is the antidote for not becoming bitter. This is the antidote here. It's praise and it's worship to God. To pour our hearts out to Him. To speak to Him. That's what we do when we worship Him, when we praise Him. We communicate with Him and He communicates with us. So refuse to become bitter. Habakkuk said it well in the book of Habakkuk. Let me read these verses to you. Now listen to them. Here's what Habakkuk said in his struggle. And he really had a struggle here with all that was going on. In Habakkuk chapter 3 and verse 17, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, where the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Verse 18, yet. Verse 17 was though these things happen. Then verse 18, here's the response. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength. He will make my feet like deer's feet. And He will make me walk on high places. That is the antidote. What's Habakkuk saying? That his strength and hope and security was not in the fig tree, not in the olive oil, not in the material stuff, not in all that, but his security was in God and God alone. My strength is in you. Therefore, I will rejoice. Number three, in the acrostic, U. Look at the letter U. Unite with people who will help you focus on God. There's passages in Job that says this. It says, Job, you unite with these folks who have praised God in the past. Now, why do we need this? Because we can't make it through a setback on our own. We need people. We need people of faith. In our worship together, you know what we gain? We gain perspective. Where does this perspective come from? It comes from the wisdom and strength of God. The people of God, when we worship, you know what we're doing? We're giving hope. We're expressing testimonies. We're showing our confidence and faith in God. What God is saying to Job, Job, you need to get with people like that. You need to you can't make it on your own. So the thing that Job did in his worship, all the way through the book of Job, in his worship to God, he always prayed for two things. He prayed for wisdom and he prayed for strength. He needed wisdom for perspective. He needed God's strength because he knew that he couldn't make it through this battle on his own. So one way to say that is this: prayer is the path back to your comeback. So pray. Unite with people of faith. Unite with people who believe in God. Now, we do that in many ways. We do it in worship, Bible study, however we do that. And then number four, I'll do these two quickly. Number four, surrender my future to God. That's how Job made the comeback from a setback. Now, when we're doing this, we come to that place of total surrender to Him. One of the most familiar verses in Job is this, and this shows you his surrender. Job said, though he take my life, I'm still going to trust Him. The Bible, King James Bible says, you know, though he slay me, yet will I trust Him. You know what that is? That is total surrender to whatever future God has for me. That's what it is. Job got some bad advice, though, about his future. It came from his wife. You know what his wife told him when Job was going through all this? She said, why don't you just curse God and die? When you're making plans for your future and you're thinking about the future, it's okay to get advice, it's okay to get counsel, but the main thing is this, you know, talk to God about it. Get God's advice. Get God's counsel. Get God's perspective on this. And so he just, you know, he surrendered everything you know, to the Lord. Rather than worry about the future, you know what he was going to do? He said, God, I'm going to worship you. So rather than worry about it, surrender to God and worship him. So he surrendered his future to God. And then the last thing here, the T and the word trust that we've talked about here. This trust Jesus for every detail of my comeback. That's what I need to do. What Job got was double for his trouble. Now you go to the last chapter in the book of Job, here's what you find. In Job chapter 1, he had 7,000 sheep. In Job 42, you know how many he wound up with? 14,000. In Job 1, he had 3,000 camels. In Job 42, 6,000 camels. Job 1, he had 500 oxen, 1,000 in verse 40, in chapter 42. Job 1, he had 500 donkeys. In Job 42, 1,000 donkeys, double. Seven sons, three daughters in Job chapter 1. And then you know what God did? God blessed him with seven boys and three daughters in Job 42. But you say, well, there is the double. The double is he had seven boys in heaven and three daughters in heaven. Trust God to work out every detail of your life. Now let me conclude just by saying this. Every setback that we experience in life, with all the problems and things, everything may not be solved. Though, you know, hard feelings may not be forgiven. Everybody won't live happily ever after and all like that. It just doesn't happen that way. But you see, here's where Job came to. Job came to this. No matter what, God, I'm going to trust you. Are you there? Is that where you are? No matter what, God, I'm going to love you. No matter what, God, I'm going to serve you. And so Job's greatest blessing here in all this was when you come to the end of the book, you know what he said? He said, God, I've heard about you with the hearing of my ear. But he says, now I know you. With a message like this, here's what I want you to do. I want you to really know God. And another thing I want you to do with a message like this is help other people. Use the truth of the book of Job to help others. Because we all need each other. I thought about this too, and I thought, you know, well, you know, how do you really bring something like this to a conclusion? And the only way I know to do that is to say this. I don't know what your setback is. I don't know who you are. I don't know what you came to this building with today on your heart, but God does. But here's what we're going to do. During this invitation time, we're going to pray for you. And we're going to pray that you can just turn that over to God and talk to God, be honest with God this morning. Just tell him what's on your heart. If you really are not familiar with what we're doing here today in church and preaching, and you know, you may attend here and just for a short time, or you may have been here all your life, or what, you know, I don't know. Or this may be your first time in church. I don't know. But here's what I want you to understand. God will never stop loving you. And whatever it is in your life today, he cares about that. And he cares about you. If you've never trusted him as Savior, you need to take that step to trust in Jesus Christ as your Savior. And for those of us who are believers, let's just take that acrostic today. Let's just talk to God about how we feel. Let's unite with people who will help us focus, you know, on the thing we need to focus on, God. Let's refuse to become bitter. Surrender all that it is to God, our future to God. And to trust Him for every detail of our life. Let's do that in this invitation this morning. Let's stand, please, for our time of invitation. Father, we just thank You today for Your Word. And we thank You that we can have trust in You. Lord, I don't know what the setback is today, and I don't know what the circumstance today may be in the heart of any person that's here. But Lord, You do. And Father, I just want to take this time of invitation today to pray for each and every one. And God, today I just pray that we would put our trust in You. Lord, today I pray that we would talk to You about whatever it is that we haven't talked to You about. Whatever it is that causes, that has caused that frustration in our life, Lord, may we bring it to You today. It could be on a job, it could be at school, it could be with a relative, it could be whatever. But Lord, I pray that we just talk to You about that. God, today, for those who need to come and put faith and trust in Jesus Christ as personal Savior, I pray that they would take that step of faith today to trust You in the gift of salvation, to trust You for the forgiveness of sin. Lord, I pray that they would take that step. Father, we know that You're a God who cares, You're a God who loves. You're a God who is in control. And Lord, today, bring us to that place where we can say, just like Job, no matter what, we're going to trust You, we're going to love You, and we're going to serve You. Lord, we know that we're in earth. We're on earth. We're not in heaven. And everything in earth is not the way we'd like it really to be. But Lord, in heaven, one day, all the disappointments will be erased. There'll be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more heartache. But Lord, until that day comes, I pray that we would continue faithful to You, knowing that You know what the outcome is going to be and You hold the future in Your hand. I pray that we would be encouraged by that today. Encourage those this morning who need that encouragement of eternity and their heart and soul. In Your name we pray. Amen.